Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We've got a couple exciting events to discuss and some new evidence that proves we've been right all along. Who doesn't love being right, am I right? Let's get to it. Biden's VP vetting is the talk of the town after articles revealed that Klobuchar is being vetted by the team as a possible VP pick. But we've known she would be considered all along, as are a dozen other candidates. The problem with the entire list is that it doesn't contain the two names that could actually help Biden win the election, which are Bernie and Yang. Harris and Klobuchar court the same exact moderate voters as Biden, so those people are already on board. Warren has progressives, but they all polled as vote blue no matter who, so they don't really matter. There's simply nothing to gain from these candidates as VP. The only two choices that really make sense are Bernie and Yang, both who have a lot of pull with progressives and who have fans that are not already guaranteed to vote Biden, especially in Yang's case. He pulled a ton of new voters of all ideologies, which the Dems need to keep. He also was the only candidate with positive favorability nationally and the most electable candidate by the numbers because he pulls the most swing voters, especially Republicans. He's far and away the best VP pick to win, but I guess Biden would rather virtue signal than win. I honestly don't know what goes through these people's heads. The data is out there. Look at it. Use your brain. Speaking of, a new article from Politico lays out the economic recovery data, or lack thereof, more clearly. They find that the unemployment numbers for Georgia, the first state to reopen substantially, have not significantly changed, and new layoffs continue to roll in. Public polling indicates that consumer confidence has yet to return. Nearly two-thirds of Georgia residents in a recent Washington Post Ipsos poll said they felt their state was lifting restrictions too quickly, and only 39% said they approved of Kemp's handling of the outbreak. Julia Coronado, president and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, an economic research consulting firm, says, quote, "We've been chasing a bit of false narrative that the economic hit is about the restrictions and not the disease itself. The economic story really isn't about lockdowns, and we're going to make mistakes by pursuing that narrative," end quote. So, what's the Trump administration doing? Pursuing that false narrative, of course. Pressuring governors to reopen in the vain hope that it'll all go away. Trump ignoring data and playing make-believe, who would have guessed? All the while criticizing cautious Democrats of playing politics for opposing early reopenings. Oh, the irony. This is one more example of what the boys on the Moving Forward podcast say about Trump projecting, accusing other people of everything he does himself. It's also an example of both theirs and Anthony Scaramucci's criticism that Trump makes his decisions based on what will play best in the current news cycle. Wouldn't it be great if we had an Asian guy who makes decisions based on data running the country? Boy, would it. No one should be surprised by these results, as consumers shut themselves down before the lockdowns did. A recent analysis by four University of California, Berkeley researchers found that the effect of stay-at-home orders accounted for only one quarter of the jobless claims at the start of the crisis, suggesting that a majority of jobs that have been erased would have been lost even without statewide shutdowns. Simply put, everyone calling for the lockdowns to end, like it'll make everything okay, is delusional. Trump is recklessly feeding that delusion. If anything, it will only put us at further risk of infection and longer shutdowns. And the Yang Gang have been right all along that the only way to restore the economy is to control the virus and establish reliable disposable income with the UBI. Yang drove this home in a separate article where he was quoted saying, "We have to face facts that 42% of these jobs will not come back. You're looking at essentially long-standing or permanent job loss of 15 million plus. And for reference, the Great Recession cost us less than 9 million jobs. So you're looking at something almost two times the Great Recession permanently." End quote. Any politician with a brain cell should be pushing for testing and UBI right about now if they want to be reelected. And let me tell you, this crisis just got real, folks. We just received word of the unthinkable. Yes, Victoria's Secret is closing their stores in the US and Canada. Oh, the humanity. How will we be able to pay $100 for 8 square inches of fabric that falls apart within weeks? Watching it disintegrate on your partner in real time is the best part. Truly no one is spared in this calamity. A moment of silence for the fallen. In some rare good news from Texas, a federal judge ruled in favor of absentee ballots being made available to everyone in the state who wishes to avoid in-person voting due to COVID. They do still have to request the ballot, unfortunately. If you know anyone in Texas, let them know that they can vote without exposing themselves needlessly. This comes as the Trump administration, according to The Hill, threatened to withhold federal aid from Michigan after the Secretary of State announced they would mail absentee ballot applications to all residents. Withholding federal aid from states to get them to do what you want sure seems like another thing that should be a crime, doesn't it? Mitt Romney stepped up and defended mail-in voting, telling Trump that probably 90% of his state's residents use it regularly and report great satisfaction with it, along with the population of every other state which uses mail-in voting as the standard. Mitt Romney, as usual, seems the one Republican politician to retain his independent faculties in the era of Trump. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Yang had their Yang Speaks episode, where they discussed the importance of restoring trust in government, getting Congress informed on technology, imposing smart regulations for transparency and the function of the algorithms ruling our lives, and so on. Jack disclosed that he intends to give away all of his wealth within his lifetime. He also said that whenever anyone is in pain, he is in pain. Seems to me Jack is hardcore humanity first. But the big news is that Jack donated $5 million to Humanity Forward. He praised Yang and the work of the organization. Not as much talk about UBI as I expected, but hey, money talks, right? That donation is more money than has gone out in total from Humanity Forward so far and will reach tens of thousands with microgrants. Jack also donated $10 million to Project 100, the group giving $1,000 each to SNAP recipients. If you want to see what else Jack is doing with his $1.5 billion for charity, he has an open-access Google Doc tracking the money that you can find below. Dear World held their story session on Zoom. It was attended by over 20 people, including Zach Grauman, who shared meaningful and vulnerable stories with one another. You can view the whole recording below if you're interested. Mike Breuer is hosting a Reddit Ask Me Anything session today, Friday, at 3 p.m. Eastern, and Scott Santon says between this and something else, it's going to be a big day for Mike and Mitch. Stay tuned, link below. Also, don't forget to trend hashtag YangGang for Congress today. Yang tweeted a new stimulus idea saying we should consider giving out debit cards that can only be used at small businesses. I assume this would be on top of basic income, stimulus, and the Paycheck Protection Program, aiming to address demand for small businesses exclusively. I'm honestly not sure how I feel about this one. It would take a long time to produce that many debit cards, for one. It does interfere with the free market, though in a way that I think the vast majority of people approve of. In fact, we may need something like this to continue into the future in order to prevent monopolies by giving small businesses an advantage of demand, giving them a chance to grow so that big business can't shut them out. It certainly seems likely there would be some gaming of the system, though. So, I don't know. Something to think on. Our petition to get Joe to sign on to UBI has officially passed 250,000 signatures. In fact, it's up to 280,000. Not bad at all for its age. Great work, gang. The Step Forward podcast will be hosting Stacy Rutland of Income Movement in their next episode today. Jermaine Johnson hit U.S. donor bingo blackout today. He posted on Twitter that he had donors from every state but Alaska and asked if anyone could complete it. Curtis Bunker commented that he had just donated and had him covered, so I think congratulations are in order. Well done, Jermaine. You deserve this honor. Don't forget to turn your bingo card in for candy on the way out. If you want to donate to Jermaine, head on over to johnsonforsc.com or click the link below. Finally, Eliza, Heidi, and Heidi number 2 are celebrating their birthdays tomorrow, Saturday, and Jonathan Herzog is getting old next Monday. Wish them happy birthdays on Twitter. They've all done the Humanity First movement great service. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark the Georgia article, weep for Victoria's Secret, send Romney a thank you for having morals, check out Breuer's AMA, visit bailoutthepeople.com and take action, call the Congressional Switchboard to send the most effective message you can to your representatives, help recruit burners and others to the cause and get everyone to sign the petition and join the UBI movement, flood Congress and Trump with calls, tweets, and letters, but particularly 5 calls a day, using the Resist Bot or Income Movement as easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, United Way, or the H3 Podcast Thread, and don't forget to Yang Daily.